As we saw last time, translation into sign language is a significant need, and it's often misunderstood or overlooked when people think about Bible translation. In this episode, I want to introduce you to a team currently working on a sign language version of the New Testament in Spain. In order to hear from the team members who only communicate with sign language, my friend Steve Parkhurst kindly agreed to interpret and be their voice. So let's see what we can learn together. I'm Andrew Case, and this is Working for the Word. Now, to orient us a little, here are some stats. Less than 10% of Spain's population attends church on a regular basis, yet more than 70% of Spaniards identify as Catholic. Evangelicals account for less than 1% of the population. Now, we'll be hearing a lot from Steve in this episode.
I'm kind of like a linguistic consultant.
On Wycliffe.net, you can read more about Steve Parkhurst and his wife, Diane. Let me share a few snippets to put all of this in context further. More than 20 years ago, Steve and Diane moved to Madrid at the invitation of PROEL, a Wycliffe Global Alliance organization in Spain, and they were preparing to translate the Bible into local sign languages. Now, at the time, those kinds of projects were rare. So they were a kind of guinea pig project, and if it could work there, then they could figure out how to make it work elsewhere. The Parkhursts met with numerous deaf clubs to research their languages. To write down the words they were learning, they used a system called sign writing, which uses visual characters and symbols to represent hand shapes, motions, and facial expressions. Their research also involved meeting with local churches, pastors, and priests. Steve says, "We got the idea that yes, there was definitely a need for Bible translation, but no one had the time, energy, knowledge, or desire to dive in and help us." Sign writing, on the other hand, was an area of interest. In fact, the Spanish Deaf Federation asked the Parkhursts to teach sign writing to sign language interpreters and others. That became their focus for the next 7 years, while they waited for an opportunity to pursue Bible translation. Fast forward a few more years, and we find the Parkhursts building a small team in Barcelona, where they continue to work to this day. And you should know about the book they've published in both English and Spanish, called Signo Escritura in Spanish and Sign Writing in English, which first came out in 2001 in Madrid. It's considered to be one of the world's leading instruction reference manuals teaching sign writing. Everything is accompanied by Steve Parkhurst's illustrations, and the images of the sign writing symbols are made possible by specially developed TrueType fonts designed and created by the Parkhursts themselves. It's a historic work and one of the first textbooks written in the early years of sign writing, laying the groundwork for newer textbooks to come. Now, there are two primary sign languages in Spain, Spanish Sign Language and Catalan Sign Language, which is the language our guests are working with in Barcelona. With us in this episode, besides Steve, are David, Estrella, and Ruth. So when you hear Steve interpreting, you'll be hearing from one of them. I asked the team to introduce themselves and share why they got involved in sign language translation. We have Estrella and David, who are married, and Ruth, who is David's sister. David is also a pastor of a deaf church of about 40 people. Let's listen to Estrella tell us more.
So in our work, we saw that the people really do need scripture. They don't understand it. And it was just so clear. Why don't they understand it? Well, way back, people would go to deaf schools and they would force them to be oral and do lip reading and not do signing. And if they did sign, they would slap their hands or whatever. And so they lost a lot of information. They weren't learning many things, and they're trying to learn how to write. And that was really hard. And it was, you know, that's kind of the way the education has been here in Spain. And so trying to read scripture is really, really difficult. They really need it in their sign language and something they can understand, you know, and so they can grow spiritually.
Now let's hear from Ruth.
Way back, 2004 or 2005, Steve and his family presented to us that we could possibly become part of this translation project. And so they showed that option to us, and we thought about it and said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And so how do Estrella and I work? Well, let me explain. So I'm a hearing person. I can read the Bible well, and I can understand it. And I've got different versions that I can compare and so on. And so then I'll explain it to Estrella. And then we'll talk about it and discuss it and figure out how to best say it in sign language. And then we got this app for the computer to be able to write sign language and put it on the computer. And so we'll write it all out and play around with it and move things and say, is that good? Oh yeah, that's good. Do you think everyone's going to understand that? Good. Okay. And when we're finished with that, then Estrella will then take it to other deaf people, various deaf people from around the area. And she'll sign it for them and ask, okay, now did you understand it? And they'll discuss, oh, we use a different sign or no or whatever, or maybe we should change the order here. And so we make all these various changes and see what they understand. And when we're done with that, then we give it to Steve and he looks over and we make those changes and he does a linguistic check of it. And then we show it to another group who's a Catholic group. So the first group was an evangelical group. Second group is a Catholic group. And again, they do some changes. And again, we go back and we make the changes and make adjustments to it. And when that's all done, then we give it to a consultant. He looks through it. Ruth will write back and forth with him about that and they'll make the changes. So they'll go back and forth. And when that's all finished, then it's approved for publication. So then we got two different options, two different ways. We can do things in 3D animation. And so when we do that, we give that to another one in our family, Carlos, and he works on the computerized animation and puts in the facial expressions and all those kinds of things that they need to do to make the animation look really well, the fingers and the body and all those things. When that's done, then Steve takes a look at it again and makes final corrections, and then we can distribute it. So that's one way. The other way to do it would be to do physically film a person such as Estrella or someone else and, you know, with the makeup and their hair back and everything and with all the lights and behind that's like a green screen and we film her signing. We take all that and when we're finished, we give that to David and then he does the video editing and all of that kind of thing, putting in the backgrounds and the chapter numbers and all those and more editing things and subtitles and so on. And then that we put it on the internet. We've got social media distribution, Facebook and all kinds of places that we distribute it that way. Like in about 2 years, we should be finished with the New Testament. We have 91% of it drafted. We have apps for phone apps. And most people will use that. Now we're working on Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and they're like, oh, you got to get this out to us. It's, oh, we're not quite done yet. We're still filming it. It'll be a little bit before it gets out to you. It's, oh, please hurry, get it out to us. We really want to see it. On the street, sometimes we're thinking, okay, now what verse was that? Oh, and you wanted to share this with somebody. And so you can look it on your phone and find the verse that you want to show and show it to them and things like that. I mean, it's just useful for evangelism. It's useful for all kinds of things. It's really important.
One of the things I asked the team was what kinds of issues they must consider when doing something so visual.
In a country, like, for example, in India or someplace like that, and if you're wanting to share the Bible, in some places it's prohibited, you know, you're not allowed to share the Bible and things like that. So some way of changing the visualness of the person, for example, doing it in 3D animation would be a way to get around that so that your face isn't recognizable. So like in India, they have a different way of doing it. They, you know, we can do it with 3D where it copies the person and then it kind of changes the face on the person. And then when they're doing the Bible in sign language, people say, well, I don't really recognize that person. Who is that person? They don't know it. And so they can just focus on the text and it can go out to all the people.
David also mentioned the risk of having someone in the video who then falls away from the church and the faith, or doesn't maintain a good testimony, and then many people who know about it may end up rejecting the video translation they produced.
Another option is within the church, you could film it for one group, so like the evangelical church. Oh, they're really happy with this, with a person. But now there's another group like the Catholics, and they look at this person and say, oh, I know him. He's from the evangelical group. And all of a sudden now they don't like it. Even though the scripture is the same, they're seeing it from a different perspective and they say, oh, no, I don't like it. So that makes it difficult at times. So the Catholics came up with the idea of doing this 3D animation. And that way you have the same text and it can go out to both groups and it's not Catholic or Protestant. You can see there's different ways that we have to deal with this issue. So we use Adobe products, but the 3D has its own program. It's different. It's called Maya. It's a professional 3D animation program. Ruth's husband has taught me a variety of different programs for doing this kind of creating apps. So we get all the pieces together, put them together in the phone app, and get some help from various other people outside of the project. So we've been doing that now for a number of years with our own product. Let me also mention a different one that we just recently did, a dictionary. This was also with Jesus, the one who does the Spanish sign language stuff. We worked with him as well, created a different phone app for the dictionary of religious terms and things like that. So that's also been a new thing. And one of our objectives has been, we don't really want to rely on outside American products or other things. We wanted to do everything within our own country, in Spanish, in our sign language for our group, and not have to be dependent on the outside. It gives a feeling of ownership to the project that this is our thing. This is a Spanish thing, you know?
The team's biggest needs are prayer, financial support, and more involvement from the church. Pastors in Spain often don't receive a salary, so it's a challenge to convince them to invest their time and money in Bible translation. But the team continues to press on. So how can we pray and give towards this project?
The project does have some funding, but we do need outside funding from local churches. And so various local churches here in Spain do support the project, and that helps pay for some of the extra things like the filming and things like that are not covered under our larger support. For example, the Book of James needs to be filmed. It's been translated, but it needs to be filmed. And so I could adopt that Book of James for a certain amount, and that would pay then for the producing of that book. If, let's say, I wanted to support that Book of James, publishing that book, it would be like 1,500 euros. And that would cover the cost of all the filming and the production of it. Pray that we can continue on to the point where we'll actually finish it. We're getting really close to the end, but there's always issues at the end and getting the final funding to do things. So yeah, pray that this does make it all the way to the end and we can finish and finish well. Pray for deaf people. We really want this scripture to touch their lives and for them to grow in their walk with Christ, and getting that scripture down into their lives and getting it out to people and being able to show it to other people and get it out there is a challenge. The world is a dark place. It needs the light of God's word.
You can also give one-time gifts or monthly. There'll be links in the description for this and other things we talked about. Thank you for listening. And once again, I want to say a big thank you to David, Estrella, Ruth, and Steve for giving us a window into their world and work. Working for the Word is a podcast where we believe the Bible is a unified, God-breathed, God-centered, hope-giving book, sweeter than honey and pointing to Jesus. And this podcast exists ultimately to help us all treasure the Bible more, go deeper into it, and become like the man of Psalm 1.